Take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to look at the first six verses. Last week we talked to you about dealing with the storms. As we were praying this week, just couldn't get off that. So we're going to talk to you this morning how to deal with your crisis. How to spiritually deal with a crisis. Anybody have one? Now, it doesn't mean everything's a crisis. You can make everything a crisis. But there are literal crises that come to your life. And God wants you to know, how do I get through this? What am I going to do? And basically what I'm going to do is give you a bunch of scripture. And Kirk is going to come in just a moment and talk about the God of creation. Because if you are going to trust in God, you better know a little bit about Him and how powerful He is. Because if you've got an issue, if you've got things you're going through, you need to know that the God that you're praying to and the God that you're trusting is more powerful than your crisis. Why would you want to pray to a weakling God? Why do you want to pray to a God or talk to a God with a small g? Like the God of this world, the small G-O-D. Why would you want to talk to a God of wood or stone that man made? Look at me. It doesn't make sense. And go into Isaiah and read chapters 40 through 55 or 57. And start listening to what God is saying to Isaiah. Man goes and he finds a good tree and he cuts it down. And half of it he uses to bake his supper with. And the other half he carves and makes a god. And he gets down and he bows down to the thing that he made and says, "You are my God." Makes a lot of sense. I was talking with a doctor at the VA in Fargo, and his job was working with people who have alcohol and drug issues. And he says, "I've had people come in and look at that doorknob and and he said, "That's my higher power." That makes a lot of sense. Dumb. I can't say that. I was going to say, if I could say it, I was going to say he's dumber than a doorknob, but I wouldn't do that. But we have to listen. We have to pay attention. We have to understand what God is telling us today. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony." Now listen to this, and this is what Kirk's going to talk about in just a couple seconds. "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." How many of you looked in the mirror this morning and said, "Boy, I'm sure glad I came from an ape"? Huh? How many looked at your baby and said, "What a beautiful looking ape"? Sounds kind of stupid, doesn't it? "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, yet still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." This verse is vital, verse 6. If you mark your Bible, underline it. How many's ever prayed and said, "God, I know you're not going to answer this, but I'm going to ask anyway"? How many didn't say it, but just believed it? The Bible says, "But without faith," say without faith, "it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to him must believe that he is, or that he exists, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you think that what you're going through now, he either doesn't care about or can't do anything about it? Do you think that Colossians chapter 1, where it says, by him all things created and all things consist, in my Bible, or all things are held together? When you start looking at your life, do you think that the God who formed all this doesn't know who you are? Doesn't know where you live? Or doesn't care? To come to God, to come to him openly and honestly, and realize that he wants to help you, and to realize that he can help you, and to realize that your problem is not as big with God as it is with you. Number one, you have to believe he exists. And number two, you have to believe that he's the rewarder of those who seek him. Now, don't use God. Don't plan your whole life out, do your own thing, walk around, ignore God until you come to a crisis. You need God before the crisis comes. You need God before you're in a situation that you're over your head. We need to understand God is not Santa Claus. God is not Mr. Fix-It. God is a God who loves you so much that he gave his son to die on a cross. And he's a God that wants a every day, every second relationship with you, and your life is based on him. I want you to understand something. God could change this nation in a heartbeat if the churches in America would repent and come to him. God can redo everything that's out of whack. God can put everything into place. God can turn our nation around, just like he has helped Israel with wars and situations. He can work in America, but America has come to a place of recognizing we're no longer a Christian nation. They're right. Wasn't planned that way. It wasn't intended that way. But America, for the last several years, didn't need God. But now, still, if America would bow its knee, and keep in mind, America's not a mass of land, America's people. If we'd bow our knee, turn our heart to Christ, if my people who are called by my name will what? And do what? Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will do what? I will heal their land. The churches in America have failed. Therefore, spiritually, our nations spin off course. But God is saying, without faith, it's impossible to please me. I'm not talking about standing up and saying, well, I believe in God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about coming to a place where your life reflects Jesus Christ. And when you're talking about believing in God, you've experienced Romans 10, 9, and 10. If we'll confess with our mouth and believe in our heart the Lord Jesus Christ, that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. I'm not talking about just saying, hey, I acknowledge there's God. We're talking about the Golden Corral. When the guys were there a couple years ago, and the waiter came over and said, you know, what are you doing here? And I said, we're just a group of men and I'm their pastor. And he said, well, I believe in God. And I said, well, that's good. So does the devil. Not trying to be mean, not trying to be ornery, but as we got ready to go, he prayed a sinner's prayer with me. When we come to a place of coming to God, and then we start accepting the fact that God wants to intervene, God wants to work things out in your life. But too often in the time of crisis, we got our eyes on the crisis, not on the God who can take care of the crisis. Amen? And so God is saying, when you come to me, believe that I want to help. Believe that I can do something about it. So we're going to look at a couple of things. Anybody recognize that there are times when you have more month than money? Or is that just me? The crisis of finances. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. I'm not looking for an offering. I just want to share something with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse number 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. How many laughed this morning when you gave your offering? How many thought, what a privilege to give to the Lord's work? Now, just hold on. And God is able, say, God is able, to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having enough for all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed, say seed to me, to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Look at me. What would the farmers reap if they ate their seed that they planted? What would the farmers reap if they just ate all their seed? Nothing. Christians for years have been eating the seed. They sow nothing in the kingdom of God, and basically that's what they reap. Be faithful in the hard times so that you can have the prosperous times. If you eat your seed, you're going to go behind. If you plant the seed, if you give to the work of the Lord, if you give to the Lord, God is faithful. Can anybody say amen? Amen. It's true. Don't eat your seed when your account seems like it's growing too short. Plant the seed. You'll have a harvest. What do I do when things seemingly are falling apart? When nothing's coming together, when everything's a struggle. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you come on Wednesday night, we'll go over this in more detail. I wanted Kirk to do the creation thing, and I don't want to keep you all the way till this afternoon. I'm going to be preaching in a place tonight over in Minnesota where things are absolutely, radically, totally different. It's like going from the real world into the twilight zone. Everyone there has an issue. Everyone there is either there because of poverty, because of a sickness, because of a habit, because of a situation. And I've told you before, in the last several weeks, we've seen about 20 of them come to Christ. There's all kinds of issues. I'm going to preach this message to them tonight. Because very slowly and slowly and slowly the wheels are turning. And you walk in there, at times it's like walking into a hospital ward. When we come to a place of understanding, and this is the point that I need to make tonight and hopefully this morning, a crisis depends on what you're looking at, or maybe who you're looking at. Do you hear me? A crisis depends on who you're looking at or what you're looking at. Anybody think Paul ever had a crisis? No, I was shipwrecked and I was beaten and I was stoned. I mean, not with marijuana. Today we got to clarify that. Whenever you hear somebody being stoned, you got to ask the question. What you been drinking or what you been smoking? No. Paul says this. Chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. And verse number 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, how long your affliction been lasting? How long the crisis been going on? How long have things been falling apart? Paul says, and you look at me and you say, Pastor, that's crazy. I've been going through this for years. No, it's a moment compared to eternity, friend. When we are going through things, and I might not have time to listen to yours and you don't have time to listen to mine, and sometimes people act like they don't even care because almost everybody has things they're going through. Did we milk the cows today? Okay. Cool. Just make sure that was no crisis. Girls, was he pretty good mood? Okay. I believe Becky. But we come to this crisis. For our light affliction is what, but for a moment. I saw him with a swelling hand and a green hand and all this stuff, and that didn't seem like a moment, did it? Seemed like a long time. Did I embarrass you? You'll get even. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And I know I read that. But our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Okay, here's the key. While we do not look at the things which are seen, who don't? Who doesn't look at the things that are seen? You got it on paper. You got it in black and white. You got it on x-rays. You got it from the doctor. You got it from everybody else. And we're not going to look at it? For we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen, the spiritual things, are eternal. You say, how does that help? Say this with me. I love Pastor. I'm going to stop there. Time for confessions. I'm not talking about you folks, because I know you'd never do this. Okay? It is so easy for me to become a whiner. I know you wouldn't whine. get before God, shed my big tears on the altar, and say, God, you don't have a clue what I'm going through. No. I never did have my son die on the cross. I never did have people in the Bible walk away from me. The only thing that felt good when I was done is I got it out. And God says, well, why don't you pay attention to what I've told you? For the things that are seen are temporary. The things that are not seen are eternal. Look at me. Why walk away from God and feel so disgusted and betrayed because of things that are temporary? When we begin to focus on the spiritual, and the spiritual becomes more important to Dwight Fearing than the temporary, I begin to look to God and I begin to trust him, and he begins to respond. It's not always the way I want it. This may not answer your problem, but listen to me anyway. God is so much more interested about your relationship with him than he is in the temporary things. But he, because of your relationship with him, he'll take care of the temporary things. I need to grow up. I need to understand that Paul walked this earth doing the will of God, and not everything went perfect for him. Anybody know that? That 11 of the 12 last disciples that Jesus had, including Matthias, were martyred. And I'm not saying that justifies your situation. I'm just saying there are eternal things that God wants us to learn. And he wants us to walk it out. I need to understand that he's my supplier. I need to understand that he loves us with a heart that is so big. And he will meet our needs. But I need to walk this out in the Word of God. How many's ever been sick? How many's ever come close to dying? Anybody know how close you came to dying? I guess in my life, one time I was just a pint of blood away from being gone. I didn't know it until I walked in the pharmacy to get a prescription filled, and it was $100 and some, and I looked at Tim and said, Tim, can we do something cheaper than this? He said, no, not where you came from. I'm not going to give you no other pill that would be half the price or a quarter of the price. And I started thinking and started realizing maybe this was more serious than I thought. Jesus heals. How many believe that? The crisis of sickness and death. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I believe it's verse 26, the last enemy to be defeated is death. It doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't reign over it. It just means it's still here. Jesus rules over sickness, but it's still here. How many of you ever read Revelation 21:4? In heaven, there's going to be what? No death and no sickness. But the thing about it is, when you're sick or when you hear somebody's dying, what do we focus on? We focus on being sick, and we focus on dying. I've had doctors tell me, I heard Paul Harvey say it, who researched some of this stuff out, and he took what he said from a doctor. He said, the worst thing with cancer is the fear that comes into a person's body when they hear the word. How many of you ever had any issue with your heart? At least we know we have one, don't we? But when the doctor starts looking at that and starts talking about this being blocked and that not working and this valve needing changing, and do you ever have any fear at all? That's a good answer. He wasn't a fearing. It'll sink in. But what do? I was in a sound sleep about 5 o'clock this morning, and I don't know what in the world happened or in the spirit world happened. But all of a sudden, I woke up in a fear, almost a sweat, and I could feel my heart starting to race, and I could feel these things going on. And I stopped for a moment and said, what's going on? Then I realized something. I'm preaching this morning. Satan doesn't want me preaching confidently. And I just put my face into the pillow and I said, in the name of Jesus, this got to go. Because this isn't true. This is not happening. What could I have done? I could have said, man, I better get the hospital. I better get the doctor. Something's going on here. I wasn't very brave. I'm not going to say I was very brave. I'd just been trained enough to know what to do. Because have you ever magnified something out of proportion? Huh? Have we ever made a mountain out of a molehill? Have we ever heard something and we worked it all the way through to the bitter end where we were being let down a hole in a box? And all it was a splinter in the finger, so to speak. A sliver. Look on the eternal. I sat with somebody the other day they don't come to church here, but they have cancer. They know Jesus. And they were afraid. And I looked at them and I said this, and you may not understand it and don't think I'm not compassionate. But I said, either way, you win. And they looked at me and said, what are you saying? What are you talking about? I said, you know Christ. If you go to be with him, you win. If God heals you, you win. You're in a no-lose situation. Sickness and death will test your faith in God. And will either bring a crisis to your life or peace about the Word of God and your relationship with Jesus like nothing else can. I know. I still got a nuclear treadmill test to go through. And Satan wants to say, yeah, you got blockage and you got this and you got that. I just keep saying, no. You know what's interesting? Every month they change it. to the next month. I thought two things. Either they know me as well as you do and they don't like me, or it's not that bad of a deal. If I'm on the verge of stepping into eternity, they'd probably want to check it. But they just called and they moved it from October to November now. Pretty soon they're going to call and move it to 2012. If you're still here, you have an appointment. But God. But God. With whatever you're doing, whatever you're going through, whatever is happening, the Bible says that if this tent be dissolved, we have a building eternal with God made in the heavens. If Jesus tarries and we're not called home as a group in the next 15, 20, 30 years, some of us aren't going to be here. Amen or oh me? I'm not afraid of that. It's not the fear of death that bothers a lot of Christians. It's how they get there. Don't want to suffer. Don't want to have pain. Don't want to have this. And I understand that. When you are sick, you must trust God. I'm not saying don't go to doctors. I'm not saying don't go to medical. I'm not saying that at all. God uses physicians. God uses medical people. But God also heals instantaneously, and he heals progressively. I want to close with this. I got a lot more, but I'm starting to get late. When something's going wrong, where things are shaky and crisis is in the works and things seemingly are falling apart, or you have sickness or somebody's dying, don't practice stuff. See, what are you talking about? Don't do something just to be doing something. Don't say something just to be saying something. If you hear that your neighbor is sick and you don't know what to say, just go sit with them and pray for them. Don't have to have answers for everything. And if you're going through a struggle financially, or you're going through a situation in marriage, or you're going through a lot of stuff, just don't say, well, I'm just going to try something. I got to try something. If I don't do anything, nothing's going to happen. I got to try something. Don't. You say, what are you talking about? Get with God. God doesn't practice. God knows. God knows what the issue is and what the situation is and what he wants you to do. Spend time with him. Let him fill your mind. He knows the answer to what this problem is. He's not wondering, well, what should I tell him to do? He has it all together. He's never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. Begin to walk it out in victory. Bring everything to God and say, God, this is what your word says. You can remind him of his word. He knows it. He wrote it. But you can remind him. That just simply means you're taking him at his word and believing it. You're trusting it. You're going to walk it through. He says in Malachi, if it's finances, given it shall be given unto you. And see if I won't open the windows of heaven and bless you with blessings that you cannot contain. I will rebuke the devourer. If something is draining your finances, draining things in your life, rebuke it in Jesus' name. If you're sick, the Bible says he sent his word and he healed them. God can heal at long distances. Keep in mind the Holy Spirit's with you. Don't live your life in fear. That's not from God. Walk it out in Jesus' name. Take authority over the situations that God tells you to take authority over. Seek his face. Look at me one more time. Understand, much of the time, it's not a sin issue. It's not coming to God and repenting for things you can't remember not doing or are you doing. Don't beat yourself up over it. If there is something that the Holy Spirit puts his finger on, ask God to forgive you and it's done. Amen? It's done. I've talked to many people who, after they heard a report from the doctor or something, all they kept doing is saying, God is my sin, God is my sin, God is my sin. There can be no faith if it's sin. You can't work through that. If God brings that to you and not another person or not somebody else, if the Holy Spirit brings it to you and says, repent of it, repent of it, but don't beat yourself up over it anymore. Amen? Deal with it, be done with it, and move on. God loves you. And even in the midst of struggles, you can walk in peace.